Would you please join me in prayer? Oh, can you do mine too?
Yeah.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious Lord God, we praise you and we thank you for your servants throughout the ages. But Lord, we know that you have called us to serve at this time and in this place for such a time as this. Open our hearts through your Holy Spirit to hear your word and to experience the power of your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So as we take a look at Mary and also Elizabeth, I want to begin with a basic question. And that basic question is, who are you? And now I know that, I mean, if somebody came up to you and said, who are you? I mean, first thing is, what would you say? Your name, right? You'd say who your name was. But if, you know, then they looked at you, especially if, you know, they obviously were very, very interested and you trusted them and they said, really, no, who are you? And you might say something about a job, you may say something about your family, but when you really start thinking about it, and somebody said, no, who are you? And you really had to dig down, what would you say? What answer would you give? Maybe something to think about this week. Well, the second question there is, are you someone important? Now, that's a loaded question, isn't it? Because the world has all sorts of opinions of what that means. And we're taught to say, oh, yes, I'm important. But when it comes to the world, you might give an answer. Like if somebody says, well, who are you? Are you somebody important? You're going to be sorting through. Now, what do they mean by, are you somebody important? So years ago, while I was studying in college, I was a political science major, and I got to do a American University Washington semester program. And so I got to go to Washington, D.C. for a semester and studied at American University. It was amazing. It was wonderful. We got to go down to the Supreme Court and hear a justice speak. We got to hear a number of politicians speak. We're really all over the place in D.C. as well as the regular studies. But I also got to do an internship with a congressman, and this congressman was from Iowa, because I had gone to high school at that time earlier in Iowa, and so I worked with that congressman as an intern. Now, this is before 9/11, and back in that day, Capitol Hill was pretty much wide open. But I'll tell you, I had a very cool ID. It went around my neck, and it had my picture on it. It did say temporary, but I still had the picture. And it said, you know, which congressman I worked with and everything else. And, you know, initially, when we first started out, I was kind of the errand boy. I would go to this office and deliver this, or I'd go down and pick up something from the Library of Congress, whatever it was. It was pretty cool. But then a little later, I got to actually go to hearings, and there's 30 hearings going on that the congressman's supposed to have an informed opinion on, and there just weren't enough people, so he sent me out, and I'd record something, and I'd share it with him. But I remember one day I had to go on to, so they had these office buildings for the congressman, and they had this cool little subway, little tram that you would take, and you would go from the congressman's office, you go down in the basement, you take this little tram over to the Capitol. And I remember one time I got to go over to the majority leader's office because I had to deliver something. And so I brought it in there, had my suit and my tie on with my little cool ID. And as I was coming back through the rotunda, the great big area, and all the tourists, of course, are walking through there. You know, you walk up and the security guard's there, and for those of you that are, you're not going to probably remember this, but, you know, in theaters, they used to have these velvet ropes, right? Red velvet ropes, and you would unhook, you know, you know, the usher would unhook them and you'd walk through. Well, they had the same thing in the Capitol building. And, you know, because you had to keep all the tourists kind of channeled through the rotunda. Well, I came walking in, you know, I was cutting across the rotunda. And security guard, as I'm, because I'm coming from the outside of that, lifts that velvet rope. And I walk through. And there's this little boy, he's probably 8 years old. He sees me coming, and he looks up at me, and he says, "Are you someone important?" Yes. Actually, I don't remember what I said, but I said, "Well, you know, I work for a congressman up here." And, oh, I don't think he had any idea what that meant, but I'll tell you, that just made, obviously I remember that these many years later, but it really made me just beam a bit. But it really brings up a question, because being in Washington, and you know, there's a lot of important people there, but the question we need to consider today is this: how does God measure important? We know how the world does. We know how the world does. We know that nowadays it's how many followers do you have on Instagram? How many people are following your little Instagram posts? You know, there was a time, and you know, there's to a lesser degree today, but how many friends do you have on Facebook? Right? How many people have viewed your video? How many, you go through and all of that, you know, we try to, you know, are you a YouTube influencer? Are you, you know, you walk through all of that. And of course, there's also, boy, how much power do you have? How high are you as an elected official? How far are you on the corporate ladder? How much land do you have? How much money have you accumulated? How many, I don't know. I mean, go through the list of what the world measures, those things by which the world measures importance. What is important? You know, and in the day, you know, are you a king? Are you a queen? How many kingdoms have you conquered? What rank are you in the military? You know, again and again. And again, the world has its standards. One of the joys of getting to do this series about the women of faith is, you know, as we look at the women that we've encountered throughout this series, I'll tell you, as Pastor Bobby and David and I have spoken about this series, we've just really enjoyed it because it's caused us to dig in. And as I was considering this, I thought, you know, by far the bulk of the women, and really men, that were, if we were to look at this, were not important in the world's eyes. You know, think about the Samaritan woman at the well. Think about Ruth and Naomi, a couple of widows, poor, poor widows. Think about the woman with the flow of blood. Now, there are a couple exceptions, like Queen Esther, right? Now, she was important, but she was also called to a purpose and a time. And she was in the right place at the right time by the Lord's design. But clearly, what God shows us is that his definition of important, his definition of who is called, and you even look at the disciples. We could go through each one of those disciples' lives and realize, boy, in the world's eyes, they weren't important people. But then we have Mary and Elizabeth. We have Elizabeth, you know, she is the wife of Zechariah, and, you know, he was, you know, he had some status in his community, but just pretty much in his little town. And then Mary, a poor, unwed, soon-to-be mother, young, we think teenager. And she's one of the most important people of our faith, in our faith. And I want you to hear this. We're going to walk through a good part of our scripture today. And I want to start with verse 38. Because as the angel comes to Mary and says, you're going to bear this child. As the angel comes and says, this is how this is going to happen. When she asks, how can this be? Because, how can this be? And the angel explains it. And look at what she says. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Statement of faith. What makes her important in God's eyes? Well, there's a lot of things. But one of them is this statement. Let it be unto me as you have spoken. A statement of faith, a statement of trust. Think about what this was going to mean for her. Unwed mother, and Joseph would marry her, but think about what she was going to experience in terms of the world's view of her. Was her status in her village going to go up or down because of these events? They were going to plummet. But where does she stand before God? The angel left her. And we're told that at that time, in verse 39, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. This is a relative of Mary's. Mary's up north in Nazareth. She drives south. Listen to me. She comes south to the hill country, that hill country of Judea, that's not far from Bethlehem, and it's not far from Jerusalem. And we forget sometimes that Mary was up there, came down, went back, came back and to Bethlehem, right? Back and forth. She greeted Zechariah's home, greeted Elizabeth, who was pregnant in her old age. They had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for a child. It never came, it never came. And she's a bit like Sarah as far as age. And in verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is John the Baptist in her womb. What do we know? What do we know about this unborn child? Is God with this child? Is God with every child? And the unborn child? Yes. And what we see is here comes Mary already bearing the baby Jesus, right? In utero. They walk in, and as Daniel was talking about, there was joy. There was joy. In fact, what was the baby's response? Somebody say boing? Yeah, okay. They all pretty much leapt in Elizabeth's womb. And what I want to share here with that is I want you to see John had an awareness already. There was a spiritual sensitivity that the Lord God had given him. And when he encountered the God incarnate in Jesus Christ, even when he was in Mary's womb, there was joy. There was transformation. There was change. And can you imagine Elizabeth experiencing that along with her little one? You see, that's God's way. That's God's intent. When we encounter the living Jesus Christ, we are meant to leap for joy. We are meant to have our hearts transformed. And Mary, Elizabeth herself is filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaims, blessed are you among women, to Mary, she says, and blessed is the child you will bear. But I want you to hear this next verse. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You know, Elizabeth is saying, why would I be so important? I'm not important in the world's eyes. Why do I get to experience? Think about this. Who's the very first one to experience Jesus? Mary. Who's the second? Elizabeth. Even before this child is born. And what, filled with the Holy Spirit, what does Elizabeth recognize? Notice this, that the mother of my Lord. What is she saying about this unborn Jesus, the Messiah? That he is her Lord. It's the first statement of faith after Mary's. The first recognition that this is the Lord God Almighty, Jesus. Beautiful. Beautiful. And then Elizabeth continues as to Mary, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb did what? Leaped for joy. And then blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. Again, beautiful words. Mary, in a very real sense, Elizabeth is being prophetic. Prophetic can be about future, which is definitely what she's saying. You know, the mother of my Lord, the one who will be Lord, who is Lord, and recognizes, some people have said, well, you know, Jesus really didn't know he was Lord until later. Well, it's right here. Even in the womb, Elizabeth is making a statement for all of us to hear. He is Lord even then. And then she says, gives this word of encouragement, but also a prophetic word of simple, profound truth. Blessed is she, blessed are you, Mary, who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. As we look at Mary, as we look at Elizabeth, as we look at the baby Jesus in utero, one of the things that I want you to grasp here is that Jesus comes to us not in a whirlwind, not with fire, but as a baby humbly born. And, you know, we think, okay, when's God going to show up? And we think that we think, we want God to show up in a big way. We want thunder, we want lightning, we want a big appearance. Okay, God, when are you going to show up? And really, that's what everybody was expecting in that day, was that when the Messiah come, it would be a big, huge thing, and the important people would all know. Here it is. You may not know, but the word gospel was not originally a Christian word. It was a Greek word, and it was used by the Romans. If a child was born to Caesar, the herald would come out into the villages and the cities and say, "The gospel, the good news is this: Caesar has a son, who is now the son of a God, Caesar." That's what everybody expected. That when God shows up, it's going to be a big deal. There'll be heralds like that coming to every city, that the Messiah will come into the places of power, and he'll gather people around him of power, and they'll make a huge difference. Even the disciples thought, even into the late stages of Jesus' ministry, the disciples thought that's how that's going to happen, because that's what important means. But instead, Jesus comes as a baby humbly born. Think about that. Picture God coming to us as an infant? How vulnerable is an infant? What does an infant need? Everything. And what God was said was, I love you so much. I want you to know me so much that I'm willing to come in that vulnerable state, that unimportant place, born to an unimportant woman in the eyes of the world, so that you can know me. And one of the things that we see is that whether it be with Mary or Elizabeth, with us, he brings transformation. That is part of his plan, part of his design for us. And I want to run through these next verses so you see one other element here. Because as we look at verse 46 and following, it says, and after Elizabeth has said all of this, Mary says this. She's just overflowing with praises to God. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. But I want you to hear about this next part where, as Mary proclaims this, this is a basic truth, how God turns the world's idea of important upside down on its head. Mary says, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm and has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. Now, you maybe have spent much of your life trying to be more important in the eyes of the world. And you know what? A drive to serve and a drive to succeed, you know, isn't necessarily a bad thing. And in fact, it can be very good in the realm of the kingdom work that we're set to. But that's not where our value comes from. Because Jesus comes to you, and I want you to know this, remember this, Jesus comes to you not as a whirlwind or fire. He doesn't say, now achieve all you can and you'll be pleasing to me. Get to this point of importance and you're going to be pleasing to me. He doesn't say that. He says, I've come to you and for you as a baby humbly born. You are important to me. I love you as you are, and I've come for you. As we receive Holy Communion today, I want you to hear those words as Pastor Bobby, you know, we'll hear it, and we hear it in Scripture, we hear it again and again, where Jesus says, this is my body given for you. Given for you. My blood shed for you. It's for you. Will you please pray with me? Lord God, we are so grateful for your great love, for your peace that passes all understanding, and that you have come for us. Open our hearts to receive this baby, this infant, and may we proclaim with Elizabeth, this is my Lord and my God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.